How's it going? You guys good? First really beautiful like all weekend of the year, and here you are at church, like way to go. I'm fully intending to get a sunburn this weekend. I do not know how it's gonna happen. I don't have any plans, but like we got sun all weekend, so it's gonna happen. So great to see you, great to be with you. My name's Daryl, I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really thankful for this time that we have together. We're continuing this series that we launched at Easter calling Love Reigns. And we're talking for, well, next weekend will be our fourth week, so it's a four-week series. So we're talking for 4 weeks about how God's love reigns in our lives. And we've talked about how that comes to us through Jesus, and we have this beautiful opportunity to say yes to his love in our lives. And as we do that, we get to experience God's love reigning and reigning over, and instead of a lot of the other things that we let reign in our lives, and just there's so much life. There's so much life when we let God's love reign in our lives. And the little Bible verse, and really it's a wisdom statement. It's a faith statement. It's kind of our commitment as we go through these 4 weeks together, and hopefully 4 weeks gives us a habit and we can begin to continue moving forward in this idea as just this. It's this little reflection based on the power of God's love and what can be ours as his love reigns in our life. We come to this conclusion, and so we know in our heads, and we also know in our hearts. So we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. And it is as we are knowing and relying on the love that God has for us that we get to experience the power of that love in our lives. And when he brings his love to bear in our lives, what we really get to experience is his kind of life. And so I'm really excited for this series, and I hope it's been helpful to you thus far. It's been great for me, and I'm excited to talk with you today about how God's love can reign in your present. So we've talked about how it reigns in our past, today how it reigns in our present. Next weekend, we'll talk about how God's love can reign in our future. So God's love reigning in our present. So in my personal Bible reading this week, I'm reading through 1 Samuel. It's one of the history books of the Old Testament. See, it's the history of God's people, the ancient nation of Israel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, there's this thing going on. And the Bible tells us, like, this stuff in the Old Testament, the history of God's people, is written so that we can learn from it. We can learn from their experience. And so what's happening in 1 Samuel chapter 8 is God's people are rejecting God as their king. So he's been their king. They haven't had a human king. He's been their king. And they come to this spot where they're done with that. And they're rejecting God as their king. And they come to Samuel, the ancient prophet, And they just tell him, we want a king. You know, we want a king. We want a king we can see. We want a king like all the other nations have a king. We want a king. We want a human king. We want a man to be king over us. And so Samuel, as a prophet of God, knowing that God is the king over his people, goes to God and says, you heard him, right? And God says to Samuel, he says, that's what they want, okay. But he gives them, God, through Samuel, gives them actually what God calls a solemn warning. And in this solemn warning, what he says is, tell them they can have their king, but you gotta know, the king will claim his rights. And for them in those days, what that meant was the king would take the young men and press them into military service. And he would put them in charge of the stables and he would bring the young women and they would be cooks and they would be over the palace and they would make beautiful things for the king and for his family. Like they would be taken away from their life and their moving forward as individual people and families, and they would be brought and pressed into service to the king. And the king would take from the people. He would take grain from them, and he would take their crops from, they'd take their land from them, and he would take from their flocks. He would take from them, and he would take from them, and he would take it for himself. And so God looks at his people and says, you gotta know, if you want a king, like the king who reigns over you, He will take his rights. He will claim his rights over you. And as we read that story today, really part of the wisdom that comes from that is like this solemn warning that you gotta be careful who or what you let reign over you. You gotta be careful of who or what you let reign in your life because your king will claim his rights. And so as we're here and we're talking about letting God's love reign in our lives, one of the things that you gotta know at the start of our time together, one of the things you gotta know about God is that God is a giver. He's not a taker. The other kings that we let reign in our lives, they claim their rights. They're takers. They take from us. But God is a giver. He's not a taker. God is a giver. And the only time God asks us for something, he's actually asking us to turn loose the things so he can put something better into our hands. And so as we enter into this conversation today about God reigning over us, about his love reigning over us in our present circumstances, you got to know this about him. You got to know that God is, he's a giver. He's not a taker. And the other kings who reign over us, those are kings that they will claim their rights. And so last week we talked about how God's love could reign over our past. And remember we talked about if God's love isn't reigning over your past, then you're experiencing shame, guilt, regret in your life. And those things, when they reign over our past, like they haunt us and they hold us back. And as we allow God's love to reign over our past, then we get to experience our past really being a springboard into the future. And on top of that, we get to be this fountain of blessing in the lives of the people who are around us. And so there's beautiful things that come for us when we let God's love reign over our past. If you weren't here for that, can I just encourage you to go to our website and go back to last week and listen to that message. I think it'll be incredibly helpful for you. And so this week, we want to talk about how God's love can reign in our future in our present, the things that are happening right now. So as I'm thinking about this and preparing for our time together, thinking about what competes, like who or what else do we let reign in our lives, in our present? And so I was thinking about this, and for me and for, I know enough of us, and I know people pretty well, and I'm the people business. And so if God's love isn't reigning, often I have declared myself to be my king. Declared myself to be my king. Now, what you have to know about self being king is, especially if you're a believer in Jesus, we talked last week about if you're a believer in Jesus, the old is gone and the new has come, and there's an old you, there's a new you, and you get to live as the new you. And if you are a believer in Jesus, especially if you're a believer in Jesus, and you have declared yourself to be king, that's not the new self. That's not the new you. That's the old you that you have declared to be king over you. And the old you leads you back into old ways and into your old way of life that in Jesus is gone, but you walking back to it. And so, We live here. I mean, we do. We live here, and we declare ourselves to be king in our lives. Sometimes we let our circumstances rule over us. And if you are allowing circumstances to rule over you, this is a rough way to live. If you're experiencing it right now, this is a tough way to live because you're riding the roller coaster, right? If it's good, I'm doing good. If it's bad, I'm doing bad. If things are easy, then I'm celebrating. If things are hard, then I'm and wondering what the future's gonna be, right? If you're letting your circumstances rule over you, then you're on this roller coaster of life. And it's not a fun roller coaster, it's a tough roller coaster. And that is a really difficult way for you to live. And so, you know, if you're experiencing that, if you're experiencing the ups and downs right now and riding that, you don't have to let your circumstances be king over you. And then the third option that I see as I look at my own life and is the enemy, and I'm talking about the enemy of your soul. You have an enemy of your soul who can reign in your life. And you know, I'm talking about the devil, I'm talking about Satan, I'm talking about the prince of the darkness, ruler of this world. And we're in church and you're probably thinking, oh man, no way, not me. I'm not letting the enemy of my soul rule over my life. I would never agree to that. And maybe not knowingly you would ever agree to that, but if you have declared yourself to reign, to be the king in your life, or if you're letting your circumstances rule over you, this enemy of your soul, like, he's really subtle and he's really crafty. And he'll get in back of all, ground of all of that stuff and he'll be present in your life if you let yourself or your circumstances, if you're letting all that reign. And here's what you gotta know. These rulers, they will claim their rights in your life. And as they claim their rights in your life, like that is a difficult, often devastating way to live. And so if God's love's not reigning in your life, whoever or whatever else is reigning, they're takers. They're takers. And they will claim their rights in your life. And so that's why I think it's so important for us. We're going to talk about this weekend about how you could let God's love reign in your present circumstances. Like his love could begin reigning in your life today while we're talking about it. And because it can start today, like, it can make all the difference for you. So I want to start this little conversation of the positive side on this, on how God's love could begin reigning in your life. Let me show you this little verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And this helps us begin to understand how we can receive what God wants to give us, the kind of life he wants us to have, because he's not going to claim his right. He's going to give to us. And so there's this beautiful statement in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. For he, speaking of God, has rescued us from the dominion or the kingdom of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, who's Jesus. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus came on a rescue mission. That was his whole purpose for coming to earth, is he came on a rescue mission. He came to rescue us, and he came to forgive us and to offer us his forgiveness in his life. And as we're saying yes to that forgiveness and to that life that he gives to us, then we get this awesome thing. Not only do we get forgiveness in life, like we get that, but God is a giver, not a taker. And since God's a giver, what we also get is we get a new spiritual address. Like we get transferred from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. And better than just a new spiritual address, we also get a new spiritual leader, a new spiritual ruler in our lives. Instead of darkness ruling over us because we live in their kingdom, now we've been transferred into the kingdom of Jesus, and we get Jesus as our leader and as our king. And so as we talk about God's love reigning in our lives, part of the rescue you receive is that you get moved out of the kingdom of darkness. And you get to move into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's Son, whom he loves, and you have a new king. Darkness is no longer your king. Now Jesus is your king. And so I was thinking about this of Jesus. So we call someone who has a kingdom, right? We call that person a king. So how do you relate to a king? And if you're an American, the way you relate to a king is you rebel. Right, like that's the history of our country. That's how we relate to kings, we rebel. It made me laugh because this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but at a previous church, we had a guy on our staff who was British, and we used to make him preach on the 4th of July, just for fun. It was awesome. And he always had a crack for us. But so if you're an American, like your natural response to a king is to rebel, but really, there are a few words to describe how people who live in a kingdom relate to their king. And those words are submission and obedience and allegiance. And whether the people who live in the kingdom submit, obey, are faithful to their king out of fear or out of gratitude or out of love, That depends on the king and that depends on the people, but the words that are used to describe the way people who live in a kingdom relate to their king are words like submission and obedience and allegiance. And then these verses, this verse we just read, I mean, like it restates something that we've been talking about. It feels obvious. Jesus is the one our Heavenly Father loves. Right? He's transferred us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. So what do we expect this kingdom to be like? We expect it to be love. We expect it to be love. Like that's the charter of the kingdom, and that's the character of the king, is he is the one whom God loves. And so we expect the kingdom to be like, it's love is the air that we breathe in the kingdom of Jesus. And it's a spiritual kingdom now. It's not a tangible kingdom. And in addition to love, if you read through the Bible, there's some other words that are used to describe this kingdom, their qualities or their characteristics of it. It's characterized by peace, because Jesus is, he's the Prince of Peace. And it's characterized by joy, because there's always joy in the presence of God. And so joy is characterization. Healing, because Jesus is our healer. And it's characterized by what is just and what's right. One of the things that God says about himself and he says about his Son is justice and righteousness are the foundation of your throne. And so this kingdom is characterized by love and joy and justice and righteousness and healing. And in that description, like if we really believe that, you would think that we would run into that kingdom so fast and we would run so deep into it that there'd be no chance of us ever wandering back away into the way we used to live. You'd think we would run into it so fast and so far, but that's not how we are. That's not how we are. We hesitate to enter this kingdom for whatever reason. It's human, hard to change. It's human, wonder what that's like. It's human to hesitate to enter into that kingdom. And then once we're there, it feels like so often we're living not deep in the heart of this kingdom, but we're living on the edge. We drift to the edge of this kingdom towards that kingdom of darkness. And if that describes you, if that describes the way you live and it's the way you feel about your life and you're hesitant to enter into this kingdom, or you feel like, okay, I'm in, but if it were possible to have one foot out, like I would have one foot out. I feel like I'm on the edge, I drift. If that's you, I just wanna spend the rest of our time helping us know how we could experience life, not on the edge of this kingdom, but life deep into this kingdom. And the section of the Bible that I wanna land, it's been so helpful to me. It's in a book of the Bible we call Romans. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to the ancient church of Rome. It's in chapter 6. We spent a little bit of time in chapter 6 last week, and so I'm gonna start by just reading this first verse to you. This is what we talked about last week, so this is just a little bit of refresher and a little bit of orientation. So the Apostle Paul is just reminding us, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And this connection to Jesus that our baptism symbolizes, right? This connection to Jesus that our baptism symbolizes, being united to him in his death and being raised with him so that we get to walk into a new life. Like that is what we celebrate with baptism. If you have not experienced baptism since you have been united with Jesus, like you ought to. It's an awesome experience and testimony of what God has done in your life. So hold on to this idea of you have died with Jesus and you have been raised with him and now you have this new life. And we're gonna move down in this chapter to verse 11. So in the same way, because you have been united with Jesus in his death, count yourselves dead to sin. Not sins like lying and cheating or, you know, whatever comes to your mind when you hear a pastor stand on a stage and say the word sin, right? Not whatever comes to your mind in that, but think of sin, like sin personified. Sin as the king of the kingdom of darkness. Sin as the ruler who will claim his rights. That's the idea here. In the same way, you yourselves have, you count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So you are dead to that former king. If you're a believer in Jesus, when you've united to him in his death, you have died to that former king. And this new life that you now have, you are alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so you are alive to your new king. And you are alive in this new kingdom and participating in this new kingdom. And because of that, so therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. Because here's what happens. So the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's son whom he loved, they're spiritually speaking, they're right next door to each other, right? So when you are united with Jesus, you are transferred from the kingdom of darkness and you are brought into the kingdom of light, and you now live in the kingdom of light, but you live right next door to where you used to live. And you are within shouting distance of the king of the kingdom of darkness. Sin, as this chapter calls it. And sin knows he has lost you, but knows he can hear, you can hear him. And so he still shouts at you and tells you what to do. He's trying to claim his rights in your life. And you can hear him. And there is a part of you that is really good at doing what he says. And that part of you is the part of you that helps you, leads you to drift back closer to the edge of the kingdom of light so that you hear and then begin to live as somebody who belongs in that kingdom of darkness. This is what happens for us. And so don't let sin reign in your mortal body. If you're united to Jesus by faith, your former king has lost all true authority in your life. And the only authority he has over you now is the authority that you give him. When you say yes, when you listen to that voice, when you walk in those, you are dead to that king and you are alive to a new king who is a giver and not a taker. But when that old king, you can give him authority in your life. And so when that old king demands of you, you now have the spiritual right to say no. You do. You have the spiritual right and the spiritual authority to say no to that old king. So do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. You have the right to say no. Instead, and do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness. Instead, rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. So it is well within your spiritual rights to say no to your former king. Former king. Former ruler in your life. You were under his authority before, but you are in Jesus. You are dead to him, and he should be dead to you, right? And you are alive to God, and he is alive to you, in you, through you. And so you have this great opportunity to say no to that former way of living and to say yes to God and to the life that he has in front of you. And So I got four things, and these are positive statements, and this is kind of how we're going to wrap it all up today. How you can let the love of God reign in your present situation, so that you do not have to be ruled by yourself or by your circumstances or by your enemy. You do not have to be ruled by a king who will claim his rights. You can be ruled by the love of God, who is a giver, a giver, a giver. So let's just start this first thing. You got to receive this new life that Jesus is offering you. Right? If you have not yet received this life that Jesus is offering you, this is your day. This is your day. That his whole reason to come to earth and to die on a cross was so that he could rise again from the dead, defeat our greatest enemy, and offer people like you and me forgiveness and life. And a whole bunch of other stuff that comes along with that, because God is a giver, God is not a taker. And so if you have not yet received this forgiveness in this life, what Jesus is offering you, this is your day to receive that. And whatever you've been counting on, whatever you've been hoping for, whatever your spiritual desire has been, or what, if it's in yourself or it's in someone else, you just step away from that. And you can put your hope, your trust, your confidence, your faith in Jesus, who loves you and who gave himself for you. And so you say yes and receive this new life that Jesus is offering you. And when you receive this new life that Jesus is offering you, you are united with him in his death, and you are also united to him in his resurrection. That's why you have new life. Beautiful thing, and you can say yes to that. So we start there. We start there by saying yes to this new life that Jesus is offering to us. The second thing, you can claim your freedom from that old king. You can claim it. Like, you can just claim your freedom from that old king. You do not have to live under your old king's authority anymore. This is a spiritual decision that we have spiritual authority to make. You didn't earn your citizenship in this new kingdom, but along with that citizenship, you got the right to say no to your previous king. And so you could claim your freedom from that old king. And if you are caught in a habit, if you are caught in a thought pattern, if you are caught in behavior that belongs to that old kingdom, that comes from that old king, please remember, you have been united with Jesus in his death. You have died to sin. He's dead to you, and you're dead to him. He has no more authority in your life than the authority that you'll give to him. And so you could just say no. Starting right now, you could just say no to those habits, to those thought patterns, to that way of life. You have died and you are now alive. And so claim your freedom from that old king. You could tell him, like, you could just say it. You're not king over me anymore. I'm not listening to you. I'm not doing that. I used to have to do that, but I don't have to do that anymore. I got a whole new way of living. And then you get to present yourself to God for his good purposes in your life. This is awesome. I do not know what you think about yourself, but I can tell you what God thinks about you. He loves you, and he is for you. And when he looks at you, he sees himself, because he made you in his image. And when you become a believer in Jesus and he transfers you into the kingdom of the Son he loves, guess what? You are now a citizen of the kingdom of God's love. And he loves you, and he has good purposes for your life. He has good purposes from this day forward, and he will use who you were, and he will use who you are, and he will use who you're becoming to be for good, for you, for your family, for your circle of influence, for our community, for the world. He's got good stuff for you. You have purpose and meaning. There is a reason for you to be here. And it is beyond just moving around and breathing and taking up space. He has good purposes for your life, and they have eternal value for you, eternal value for you, and eternal value for people who are in your circle of influence. He has before time, he laid out good works for you to do. And so you have every reason to say no to that former king and to say yes to God for his good purposes in your life. And it is that no to that former king and that yes to God that allows you to get on with your new life. Live it. He has He has given it to you. And so now you get to live it. You do not have to live in darkness anymore. You do not have to live that old way of life. Instead, you get to live in newness. You get to live this new life. And as you live it, it'll make all the difference for you, and it will make all the difference for the people that God has put in your circle of influence. So I want to finish my time with you just with a little prayer time and a little chance for us to maybe do some spiritual work and say yes to some of this stuff, maybe tell God about some decisions that we need to make. And then when I finish up, Ezra will come back out and he'll wrap up our service, all right? So will you guys please bow your head and close your eyes with me. So let's just start. If you're part of this service, whether you're here or whether you're online, and you need to receive this new life that Jesus is offering to you, this is your moment. This is your chance to just say, Jesus, I am receiving your death for my sins. I'm receiving your resurrection for me to have life. I'm receiving what you'll give me. This is your moment to receive this new life. And if you need to claim the freedom that God has given you from whoever or whatever was ruling over you and has been claiming their rights in your life, in Jesus' name, no. I'm no longer under your authority. I've been set free. And so in Jesus' name, I'm saying no, and I'm not agreeing. And I give you have no more permission to rule over me. Claim your freedom in Jesus. And present yourself to God for his good purposes. Lord, I'm trusting that you have good things for me. I want to live in that. So here I am. I'm showing up today, and I'm going to show up tomorrow. I'll show up the day after that for your good purposes for my life. And then just before God with gratitude and humility and hope, Lord, I'm going to live this new life. I'm going to be done with the old life. I'm going to live this new life. In Jesus, the old is gone, the new has come. I'm going to live this new life. So Lord, thank you for your love for us. And we need to know, not just with our heads, but we need to know in our hearts. We need to know and rely on your love. So would you help us in that? Could we experience freedom and new life, living out your good purposes for our good, for the spiritual well-being of the people around us, and for your glory, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being the King who gives life to his people. We're saying yes to that. And so, Jesus, because you have loved us, we say we love you too. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.